Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30, and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
I woke to reality, losing its grip on me. Oh, where have I gone? 'Cause I can see the light before I see the sunrise. You called it.
Praise, Coda, Thanksgiving, right? And how important it is that we remain thankful. Because Thanksgiving literally releases supernatural into our life. It says in Psalm 69:30, it says that we are to magnify God with thanksgiving. And the word magnify is synonymous with the word glorify, where glorify means to value. And so it says in Romans 1:20, it says, because they did not glorify God, nor were they thankful, they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what happens is, when we're not thankful and we don't glorify God, it really brings darkness over our soul, and we can't see God's hand and we can't see the kingdom. So thankfulness keeps the supernatural flowing in our life. John 17:3 says, knowing Jesus Christ is eternal life. If you know Christ, if you know Jesus, you are walking in eternity right now. And your problems are nothing. Everybody's got problems. It's how we're responding to them, right? That's why it says, but thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. But thanks be to God, 2 Corinthians 2:14. In other words, we give thanks to God before the triumph, before the victory. That's connected to the victory. If there's no thanks, there will be no victory. If there's no thanks, there'll be no victory. And he says, the fragrance of his knowledge, life. You have life. You have a fragrance about you. You smell like life wherever you go. You bring life, not based on your problems, but based on who you are with him. You bring life wherever you go. You have the smell of life. You ever get around people, you can just smell it. Man, you're glad they showed up, right? But defeat stinks, right? I didn't say your feet stinks. I said defeat stinks. Right? I like victory. How about you? We're not losers, but the enemy will always try to make you think you're a loser. He's the loser. The devil's the loser. And then if you read the back of the book, he's the one that loses big time. And that's what we have to understand. We are winners. What if we don't get healed? What if our spouse never comes back? What if we don't get out of our financial problems, huh? What? We still win. Am I making sense? We still win. We got to keep things in perspective. In Matthew chapter 10, it talks about Jesus said, if you love your father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Then he goes on to say your son or your daughter. You know, there's this comparative to your love towards him. He says, unless you hate your father and mother in another chapter, he says, you cannot be my disciples. In other words, compared to him, anyone else is going to appear as hate compared to your love towards him. That's why we can't allow others to take the place of God in our life. You remember that song by Billy Joel? She's got a way about her. Don't know what it is, but I know that I can't live without her. She's got a smile that heals me. And then he says, she comes to me when I'm feeling down, inspires me. Without a sound, she touches me. I get turned around. Oh, she's got a way about her. Don't know what it is, but I know that I can't live without her. Anyway, that guy, he had problems, didn't he? You know what? That used to be my favorite song, towards my wife. That's off, isn't it? Then you got another guy says, she looks like an angel. She walks like an angel. She's a devil in disguise. See how off that is? That's why we need God. Did you get that? That's why we need God to put the right balance and perspective on who we're around and what we're giving our affections to. Doesn't that make sense? And when we got him in his rightful place, he puts everything else in the right perspective. And you don't allow those things to clamor for your attention. And you give him the proper attention, and then he puts things in order. Am I making sense? I know you had to put up with my singing today, but that's all right. All right. Thankful. We are going to be thankful, right? This thing with thankfulness has really been helping me. I mean, just whenever you feel like, you know, you're being deprived or something, you know, just begin to give thanks. Just give thanks. There is a protection in that over your soul. And when you're thankful, folks, you're going to find out that things don't bother you like they used to. They're not going to be able to have their way in your life like they used to. And it's because you're being thankful. Folks, I'm telling you, get a hold of that. We are looking at today, go with me to 2 Timothy.
We're going to look at verse 7.
Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. When we will consider, that's what we need to do. We need to consider what we hear here. When you hear God's word and something touches you, you need to consider it. You need to muse on it. You need to ruminate in it, to meditate in it. You need to ponder it. You need to reflect upon it. You need to exercise the mind in order for you to get some understanding of what God is trying to say to you. Is this making sense? So he says, consider the difference between understanding. See, what happens is the devil takes it from your heart when you don't have understanding. The difference between the devil having his way and God having his way is considering. Did you get that? The difference between the devil having his way and God having his way is considering. Because when you will consider it, you will get the understanding. Because you won't let up on it. All right. Now, remember in Mark chapter 8, the miracles of multiplication had taken place. And Jesus had just fed two enormous crowds with the few fish and the few loaves of bread. Miracle. And the disciples participated. They handed out all this bread. They kept feeding, and they kept feeding thousands of people with a few fish and a few loaves. What if we came in here, and I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I cut it in half, and every one of us had a sandwich. And I just had it up here, and we just shared it, and every one of us ended up getting a full sandwich, and we were full. We would be crying, we'd be weeping, we'd be rejoicing, wouldn't we? If we saw something like that. Well, that's basically what they saw. They saw that and experienced it and participated in it. Now, let's look at this. Mark 8, real quick, verse 16. And they reasoned, Mark 8, 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? See, Jesus is saying, you know, don't you remember we just fed 4,000 and 5,000? And actually, it would be a lot more than that with the children and the rest of them. And look what he says in verse 21. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? You know what they had failed to do? They had failed to consider what had just taken place. They had failed to consider that, what they had just experienced and what they had, was just a part of, that miracle, that miracle of multiplication. I'm here to tell you, God can supply our needs. He can show you things because he cares. He can show you things and he will take care of you because he cares about you, no matter what it looks like. Are you with me? No matter what it appears, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the economy is doing out there, God will take care of you. He will make sure and he will continue to do miracles in your life, miracles of multiplication. He can supply all your needs. He's got all kinds of means and unusual ways of meeting your needs. He will meet your needs. Considering is the link between hearing and understanding. Go with me to Psalms 77, real quick. Verse 1. I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. David was in trouble. Can anybody relate to being in trouble? And look what he did. He complained and he says his spirit was overwhelmed. Your spirit is what you communicate with God with. Your spirit is how you communicate with God. And when you complain, you actually affect that communication. You actually affect the mercy and the grace from getting to you when you complain. That is the devil's language. When you're complaining about your troubles and your problems, that's the devil's language. You are getting in agreement with him, and really your needs are not going to be met because you're stopping it. You're stopping it by complaining. This is huge because, folks, when we get in trouble, that's the first thing we want to start doing is complaining. We need to keep our eyes on God and keep him in his rightful place and disesteem those problems, and God will show up and stay thankful, and God will show up and we will get victory. But when we start complaining, we're going to be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed means oppressed and depressed. When you're complaining, it's going to bring oppression and depression in your life. That is huge. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to complain. Bump them again and say, I'm really not. We don't have anything to complain about, do we? You know what, folks? I'm telling you. When you're driving in your car and those negative thoughts come, you begin to be thankful. Start thinking of the things that you're thankful for. And I'm going to tell you what, that stuff won't get on you. But if you start complaining, you know, this season, this time of year right now, has a negative effect on a lot of people. And they'll start in that, and it tries to get on me. And I've been working on this Thanksgiving, and I'll tell you what, it's not working. I mean, the Thanksgiving's working. The complaining isn't working. I haven't been complaining. I'm not going to let it get on me because I want to keep my spirit in communication with God. Remember Jonah chapter 2, when Jonah was looking around, it says he was looking around. And he had worthless idols, and he was focused on his negative situation in the belly of the whale. And it says because he was focused on those worthless idols, it says his spirit did not receive the mercy of God. It says that the mercy of God abandoned him, forsook him. You see, God's mercy can't get to you when you are complaining and focused on all your problems. That's huge. Everybody say, I understand that. I'm going to consider that. Folks, that's so big right there. Now look at this. Verse 4. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Verse 5. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. See, he's remembering. He's considering now. I remember. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. That word Selah means ponder, pause, and think about that. Consider. It means to consider. Now look what it says in verse 8. Has his mercy ceased forever? No. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. But if you're complaining, you stop them. It's your complaining that has the power to stop them. It says, has his promise failed forevermore? The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will endure forever. You see, his promises are going to be there. And his mercy is going to be there. Now look at this, verse 10. And I said this in my anguish, but I will remember the years of the night of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Folks, we need to talk about the good things that God has done and reflect and remember on the things that God has done for us in our life. Am I making sense? And as we think about that and as we ponder that and meditate in that, folks, we're not going to get depressed and discouraged. There's a protection over your soul when you look at how good God has been to you. God is good all the time. And folks, when we look at that and we ponder that and consider that, there's a protection of your soul being oppressed. God will take care of you. Am I making sense? We got to remember those things, especially in times of trouble, because the trouble tries to overwhelm you. And that's what we have to remember. So here's what we have to do. We have to reflect on the past works of God. In 1 Samuel 12:24, you don't have to go there. I'll just go there for time's sake. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." For consider what great things he has done for you. You see, when you consider those things, folks, there is a protection in it. It will empower you. Consider, now number two, the second thing we need to do, we need to consider the works he has done. We need to consider the works he's done in other people's lives. We've seen people get healed in this church. We've seen families restored, marriages restored, finances restored, people get jobs, all kinds of things going on. We need to reflect on that and think about that. God is working, amen? When we begin to think about that and consider that, our little problems begin to dissipate. We need to consider what God has done in his word. When we look into his word and we have a healthy diet of his word, over and over and over, you will read about enemies that are defeated, needs that are met, sicknesses that are healed, and calamities restored. Over and over. When you consider his word, you'll see it, and you will get understanding. You will get understanding. Go with me to Isaiah 38 real quick, and we're going to look at Hezekiah, Isaiah 38:1. In those days, Hezekiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." How many of you know when God says you're going to die, it's time to get concerned? Hezekiah had a fatal illness. He had a fatal illness. Now look at this. Verse 2, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, 'Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord God.'" And what's happening is, because he's praying, he's crying out to God, he says, I will deliver you from this city in the hand of the king of Assyria, and will defend this city. And this is the sign, verse 7, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. This is probably one of the greatest miracles ever recorded. The world turned on its axis because Hezekiah got in the position that he needed to be in. And God brought a miracle and just added 15 years to his life, and he was healed. Am I making sense? And brought time back, turned time back. That's literally what happened here. And in the next verse, you're seeing Hezekiah's journal. Look at this. He's journaling what he went through and how it happened. Now watch this. "I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to the gates of Sheol. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see Yahweh, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My lifespan is gone, taken from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver." You see? You know what he's doing there? He's taking responsibility for what he has done. Some of us have allowed the hedge to go down. We have a hedge of protection. So it's either fear, it could be lust, it could be pride. That opens up the door for destruction to come into your life. He took responsibility for what was happening in his life. That's what he said. "I have cut off my life." That's what he's saying. I'm responsible for where I'm at in this position in my life. "He cuts me off from the loom from the day until night. You make an end of me." Verse 13, things start to turn. I have considered until morning. I have considered until morning. He considered all night long. All night long. I considered until morning like a lion. So he breaks all my bones from the day until night. You make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so I chattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fell from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Undertake for me. That word, that phrase, undertake, means surety. It means that undertake for me. Do what I can't do in my life. That's what that means. Surety means someone pay this bill that I can't pay. That's what that means. Do what I can't do in my life. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years. And one translation says, humbly in all my years. Verse 17, indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. Now look at this. There's an account of this in 2 Kings chapter 20 and also 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We're going to look at verse 23. And many brought gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all the nations thereafter. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Pride. Pride is why he ended up in such a negative place in his life. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 26. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and his inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. How did you do this, Hezekiah? What did you do to turn it around, Hezekiah? It talks about it in Isaiah 38. I considered all night long. That's how he brought about the move of God in his life. He considered. He took the responsibility for his place, for where he was. Because, folks, we blame the devil for a lot of things. You understand? A lot of times it's not the devil, right? We give him more credit than he deserves. Sometimes it's just something that we're being prideful in or something that we're not wanting to give in on, or we're fearful. And we open up the door for the enemy to get into our life. But if we will consider and repent, God will show up. Just like he did with Jonah in the belly of that whale. Jonah repented and began to give thanks. And what happened? God, the fish burped him out right out of there. And he said, I'm going to obey now. He began to obey and he repented. Those two things, when you repent and you're willing to obey, that's going to help you out of your mess. Consider that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Consider that the long suffering, you know what the long suffering? A lot of people think long suffering is just patience, but patience and long suffering are different. Patience and long suffering are different. The Bible says love suffers long. The Bible says love is patient. Patience and long suffering, there's a difference. Patience is always towards circumstances. We're to be patient towards circumstances. We're to be long-suffering towards people. Did you catch that? We're to be long-suffering towards people. Come on! Did you get that? Folks, that's why you can't just blow things off. You got to be long-suffering towards people. That's where we want to throw in the towel and just forget about it, right? Forget about it, right? But folks, when we're long-suffering, that has the power to bring them in. To bring them into the fold, into the flock, right? When you're long-suffering with somebody, God will use that to bring them in. no matter what they're doing to you, right? Love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you, right? How many of you know God is long-suffering towards us? That's the way we're to be. Now look at this. Verse 3 of the same chapter. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. How many of you know people are going to talk negative about you? People are going to speak negative about you when you're trying to fulfill the will of God in your life. They're going to come, right? They're going to be there, and they're always going to be there. Scoffers, they're going to be talking negative about you and try to bring persecution in your life. Folks, we can't let that be the voice that we listen to, can we? We got to just devalue that and disesteem that and keep our eyes on the goal, right? Keep our eyes on God. Now look at this. And saying, verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, and by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Talking about Noah. But the heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You see that? The door is still open. When Noah was preaching, they thought he was crazier than a loon. There was no water anywhere. And he was preaching the word of God. And they thought this guy is building an ark in a desert land. And they mocked him, and then the floods came. And then he and his family were on there. And then they were scratching and screaming and trying to get in. But the Bible says that God shut the door. You see, the door is still open. The door is still open. And the Lord is long-suffering toward us. He's long-suffering toward us. We're going to pray today. And we are going to continue to seek the Lord. But we're going to be considering, all right? Is this making sense? If God has been good to you, and you know it, and you know God has worked in your life in the past and he's working in your life now, I want you to stand up. If you're here today and you haven't recognized God's hand in your life, and you don't understand all these things we're talking about, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to help you understand. The door is still open. Now we're going to pray. Just say, Father God, increase my understanding. Forgive me, Father, of allowing other things to take your place in my life. I repent right now of allowing idols in your place. I repent of dwelling on my problems. I'm looking to you, Lord. I'm giving thanks to you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. For I believe that you were buried and that you rose again on the third day, that I would have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing for me, for what you've done for me, and what you're going to do for me. Father, we just give you praise today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Row Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellrowchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.